This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you'd have noticed, our pattern over the past few weeks is to just take one verse of Surah Fatiha a week and dive completely into the topics and themes mentioned in those verses. Because Surah Al-Fatiha is such a deep surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in 7 lines the entire message of the Quran. The surah of Surah Al-Fatiha, every single line, every single word makes up a theme of the Quran. And so we can give entire lectures on every word of the surah. That is how powerful it is. And that is why this is the surah which we have been chosen to recite every salah in every rak'ah. Alhamdulillah, it is the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah and the Hujjads are in Mina, and I hope our hearts are there as well. We have just 2 days left before Eid al-Adha, tomorrow being Yawm al-Arafah. I'd like to start off with a reminder to each and every one of us that it is sunnah for those who are not on Hajj, meaning those of us here at home, on the day of Arafah, to fast. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that whoever fasts the day of Arafah, his previous year's sin and the next year's sins are all forgiven. Meaning that the reward for fasting on the day of Arafah is that all of your sins for the past year and all of the sins you are going to commit in the next year are forgiven. Note though, the scholars say that these type of hadith which mention the forgiveness of sins refer to minor sins. Right? Major sins, the scholars have agreed, major sins can only be wiped out with repentance. Right? So that's why, for example, an accepted Hajj is a means of wiping out our major sins, because part of an accepted Hajj is repentance from your past life. So for those who are choosing to fast tomorrow, remember it is for the minor sins, and we ask Allah to protect us from ever falling into major sins. And subhanAllah, again a reminder that if you're choosing to fast tomorrow, more important than that, wake up for Fajr, pray our 5 daily salah. Because really, if we are missing the obligatory salah while keeping a mustahab recommended fast, then we have mixed up our priorities. So tomorrow, very important day to fast, and every day is a very important day to pray salah. And inshallah, on Friday, we will be celebrating Eid, and I hope everybody has their qurbani ready, and everybody is as excited as I am for, inshallah, what is going to be a beautiful Eid weekend. And with that, we are discussing Surah Al-Fatiha. And last week we spoke about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the master of the day of judgment. And we spoke in details about what is the day of judgment and what will take place on that day. And most importantly, we mentioned the 7 types of people who will be under the shade of Allah's throne on that day. Meaning that they will be protected from the horrors of the day of judgment. And we said that those 7 people... are the just ruler, the youngster who spent his youth in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who cried when he is alone out of fear of Allah, the one whose heart is attached to the masjid, the one who abstained from zina with a beautiful person out of fear of Allah alone, the one who gave charity so secretly that his left hand did not know what his right hand gave, and those people who met each other, loved each other and became friends with each other for no other reason except Allah. And these 7 categories of people is what each and every one of us should strive to be. At least one of them. If we are unable to be from the youth because our youth has passed us by, we can still be just to our families and to our employees and to our workers. We can still be a just ruler in that sense. We can still try to get our hearts attached to the masjid by learning the Quran. This is the purpose of tafsir, that when we understand Surah Fatiha, Salah has more value to us, and Salah becomes something more powerful to us, and then our hearts become more attached to the Salah, and the more attached our hearts are to Salah, the more attached our hearts will be to the masjid. And so I remind us, each and every one of us, during these days of Dhul-Hijjah, to focus on this. Let's take our iman to another level. Let it not just be that only those of our brothers and sisters who have gone for Hajj are benefiting from these days. Because the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are the greatest 10 days of the year. Just like the last 10 nights of Ramadan are the 10 greatest nights of the year, these are the 10 greatest days of the year. Let us not waste these last 3 days and let us focus on change. So much so that when our brothers and sisters come back from Hajj, they must look at us and they must think that we went for Hajj because we have changed so much in these days, inshallah. So again, let us not just leave change to those who have gone to Makkah and Medina. We ask Allah to accept their Hajj and to help them to reach higher levels of Iman and to come back as even better believers than they went. And we ask Allah to help those of us who have not gone for Hajj to also change during these days and become better Muslims. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us for Hajj and for Umrah in the future as well. So with that, inshallah, this week we are looking at verse number 4 of Surah Al-Fatiha. And this verse makes up the central theme of the Quran. That is the verse, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship, and you alone we ask for help. The scholars note a shift in grammar in this verse. The first three verses spoke about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the third person, that all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the universe, the Master of the Day of Judgment, etc. It's all in the third person. And then suddenly in the fourth verse, it changes to second person. Instead of saying Allah as a third, speaking about Allah, it changes to speaking directly to Allah. It becomes Iyaka, you. From He, the verse changed to you. And this happens very often in the Quran. The verses change when talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between He, you, and I. And this is a very, very important part of tafsir. We need to mention this because nowadays some of the non-Muslims pick on this in the Quran and they say that this is a mistake in the Quran, that it keeps changing the pronoun. This is no mistake. This is done purposely. And the scholars have mentioned that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the pronoun referring to Himself in a verse, it is to draw our attention that this next point is very important. So you'll notice whenever there is this change from one pronoun to another, it means Allah is bringing our attention to the most important point. So after talking in the third person for the first three verses of Surah Fatiha, suddenly it changes to second person. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. This is the central theme of Surah Fatiha. No, this is the central theme of the Quran. Worship of Allah alone. So Allah is drawing our attention to this point, that more important than anything else in the world is that we make ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us on this earth for a purpose. How many of us know our purpose of life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran clearly the purpose of life. This is a question which millions of people throughout history have asked. And without Allah's guidance, you cannot come to a conclusion about this. And so we find so many people lost and baffled. Why do I exist? The Quran answers it very shortly and very simply. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created man or jinn except to worship me. So inshallah we are going to take a break and then when we return, we will explain this verse in details. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are looking at verse number 4 of Surah Al-Fatiha. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. And with that, we had to look at another verse which is related to it. And that is the verse, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created humans or jinn for any other reason except to worship me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran very directly what is our purpose of life. And in Surah Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the one who created death and life to test which of us is best in our deeds. So, putting those two verses together, we can say that the purpose of life for every human is that Allah, God Almighty, has put us on this earth to test us. To test who is going to be obedient to their Creator, who is going to submit to their Creator, who is going to worship the Creator alone, and who is not. Those who choose to obey Allah, they will be granted paradise in the afterlife. And those who choose to disobey Allah have chosen the hellfire for themselves. It is our personal choice where we go. So this is the most crucial theme in Islam, in the lives of humans. What choice do we make? Are we going to worship Allah alone or worship others as well? Now we need to define what is worship, because many of us have a very streamlined understanding of worship, which actually comes from English and not Arabic. In the English language, when people talk about worship, they talk about rituals, just the ritual acts of worship, like prayer. But in Islam, this, when we talk about worshiping Allah alone, it's a much more complex idea. The word for worship in Arabic is ibadah, and it comes from the same root as the word abd. The word abd, it means a slave, like how we say Abdullah, the slave of Allah. This word abd, slave, is the same word for ibadah, worship. Meaning that worship in Islam is also called servitude. Servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can also call it obedience. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another word for this worship in Arabic is Islam. Submission to Allah. So in Islam, in our religion, worship is not just about the acts. It's an entire way of life. The way we eat can be worship. How? Simple. When we sit down to eat, we make sure the money we earn the food with is halal. The food we are eating is halal. We say Bismillah. We eat with our right hand. And we do all of that solely for the pleasure of Allah. Our eating becomes worship. It's a small act, but it becomes worship. You go to sleep on your right hand side. You recite your dua. And you sleep with the intention to wake up for tahajjud or fajr. This is worship. The sleep becomes worship. Even when you're having fun, you spend the entire day working, you prayed all your salah. In the evening, you spend some time with your wife and children, relaxing and having fun with the intention to recharge so that you can do more worship tomorrow. Even this fun becomes an act of worship. And this is found in the hadith, when Rasulullah ﷺ has said that spending time with your wife is sadaqah. It's a charity, it's a good deed. So our entire lives is worship. And we need to approach this understanding of the purpose of life with this holistic definition. Because what happens with many people is when you tell them the purpose of life is to worship Allah alone, many people then begin to think that, does that mean we must pray all day? Does that mean we must fast all day and pray all night? Is that what Islam teaches? And rather, Islam prohibits that. Islam prohibits that. Because we find in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the Sahaba, Abu Darda, he used to do this. He used to pray all night and fast all day. And this led his wife to get very sad because he wasn't spending time with her. He wasn't fulfilling her rights. So another one of the Sahaba, Salman al-Farsi, radiallahu anhu, Salman the Persian, he told Abu Darda, he came and stayed at Abu Darda's house for a night, and he forced him that night to sleep, and he forced him that day not to fast. And Abu Darda got very angry. And then Salman al-Farsi told him that Allah has a right over you, but your body also has a right over you, and your wife also has a right over you, so fulfill everybody's rights. And when they took the case to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam agreed with Salman al-Farsi that this is what Islam teaches. Our worship is not 24 hours rituals, rather spending time with your wife and children is worship. Working to earn halal money, to buy halal food, to provide for your family is worship. Resting and relaxing and having fun in a halal way so that you can enjoy yourself and you can recharge your batteries and you can be ready to do more ibadah and more good deeds, this is also acts of worship. So worship in Islam is a complex term. Likewise, the term of worship in Islam also encompasses feelings. It's not just a matter of what we do, it's also a matter of what we believe and what we feel. So in Islam, to fear anybody more than Allah becomes worship. What does this mean? Somebody tells you to disobey Allah. And out of fear, you live your life in disobedience of Allah in order to please that person. In Islam, this is regarded as an act of worship, that you have put that person on a pedestal higher than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the same with love. If you love someone enough to disobey Allah to please that person, this is worship. These are things which are clear in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us this in the Quran. أَتَخْشَوْنَ النَّاسِ. Do you fear the people? Well, Allah has more right that you fear Him. Or do you love the people? How you should love Allah? You find these things mentioned in the Quran. That love and fear are also part of worship. To love Allah more than anything else. And to love His Messenger more than anybody else. This is part of our ibadah, part of our religion. And so we need to understand worship from this holistic term. So when we stand in salah and we say, you alone we worship, we need to think to ourselves, is this true? Are we honest when we are saying this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we love Allah more than anybody else? Do we fear Allah more than anybody else? Do we trust Allah above everything else? Do we put our tawakkul in Allah and not in other things, in other people? Do we make dua only to Allah and not to anybody else? Do we look up to Allah as our ultimate source? Do we worship Allah in the first place? How many of us claim to be Muslims, but we don't worship Allah and we feel difficult to worship Allah? Worship is the foundation of our religion. So much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about salah. In Sahih Muslim it is narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about salah. Al-farqu baynana wa baynahumus salah. The difference between us, the believers, and them, the disbelievers, is salah. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهُ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. Whoever abandons the salah has disbelieved, has left Islam. Now there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars on how the hadith interpreted. I should mention both opinions. The Hanafi view is that a person who does not believe in salah is a disbeliever, but someone who believes in salah and doesn't pray it is a major sinner. But the view of all the other mazhabs, especially the Hanbali mazhab, is that someone who does not pray salah at all, even if they believe in it, has left the fold of Islam. So, you know, we should really think about this. Do we pray our salah? Because if we claim to worship Allah, and we know our purpose in life is to worship Allah, that 5 daily salah is the basic worship that we need to do. That is the primary form of worship that every human needs to do. If we are not doing that much, we are not fulfilling our purpose in life. So when we stand, and when we say, you alone we worship, do we mean it? Is it really that we worship Allah alone? Or are we fearing something or someone more than Allah? Are we loving someone more than Allah? Are we obeying someone above Allah? Because to obey someone above Allah is worship. This we find in the Quran and in the Sunnah. There is a verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Jews and Christians, and he says they have taken their priests and rabbis as gods besides Allah. And one of the Christians who had converted to Islam and became a Sahabi, Adi ibn Hatim, he told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when we are Christians, we never used to worship our priests. So what is this verse referring to? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to him what this verse is referring to. He said that when your priests made things haram, didn't you follow them? And when they made things halal, didn't you follow them? He said yes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that is how you worship them. When you give someone the authority in your life to make the halal haram or the haram halal, this is an act of worship. When you know they are wrong, when you know that someone is wrong and you are still following them for the sake of, you know, that person needs to be followed or that opinion suits me or whatever it is, this becomes worship because you are now putting that person's opinions higher than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, we are going to take another break. When we return, we will continue discussing the different types of worship. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are looking at verse number 4 of Surah Al-Fatiha. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. And we said that this is the most important theme of the Quran. The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the fundamental attribute that can save us from the hellfire. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in the Quran that when a person passes away, whatever sins they had in their account when they passed away, Allah can forgive it. Allah will forgive it, might forgive it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might forgive any sin. Someone passed away and they had committed zina, Allah might forgive them. Someone had passed away and they had stolen or they had lied, they done something else, Allah might forgive them. Again, this is might not as well, depending on the individual case. But there is one sin which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that if you pass away upon it, He will never forgive you. And that is to worship someone besides Allah, shirk. So this is really the crux of the matter when it comes to Islam. This is really what it boils down to. Do we worship Allah alone? And everyone should introspect into our own lives. Because remember, when Shaitan is trying to lead us astray, he knows that the only sin that Allah won't forgive is shirk. And so when Shaitan is trying to lead us astray, he's going to try and make shirk creep into our lives in such a way that we'll be doing it without knowing that it is shirk. That is the way it's going to be. The first people to ever start worshipping idols, they didn't do it just automatically. Shaitan tricked them into doing it, making them think they were doing a good deed, making them think they were getting closer to Allah, but in reality they were doing something wrong. So everyone should introspect and think for ourselves, however we live our lives, is there anything in my life which is actually not according to Islam and I'm actually worshipping someone besides Allah in any way whatsoever? As I said, shirk is a very comprehensive thing, just like worship. Shirk includes fearing someone more than Allah, where you are disobeying Allah day in and day out of fear of a human being. You have put that human on a pedestal higher than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the same with love. We find these people do this out of love. And we find the most common example of that out of love is the girlfriend-boyfriend situation, which is in of itself haram. But, you know, out of that blind, passionate love, people do so much of haram. They disobey Allah so much to please one human being. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. When we die, that human being is going to be nowhere to help us. Rather, that will be the person who will be taking us down with them to the hellfire if we died in that state. We need to think about this before we dive into these things. My life, is it in accordance to the teaching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so, the central theme and the central message of the Quran is one of worship. Because there are many people who believe in one God. There are many religions which believe in one God. There are many of the religions of the world believe that there is only one God. But they worship other than Allah in some way or the other. They worship other than Allah in some way or the other, even if they don't realize it. And that's what boils down to being the difference between a Muslim and the other religions, is that in our religion, the emphasis is not on the belief. The emphasis is on the actions. That we believe, but with that belief comes action. That's why whenever Allah talks about belief in the Quran, what does He say? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who believe and do righteous deeds. Meaning, it's not the belief on its own that matters. That belief must be accompanied with action. Right? And this refutes a common misconception found in our community, where many people won't do the good deeds, and they won't stay away from the sins. And when you ask them to do good, they say, no, iman is in my heart. I have a pure heart. I have a good heart. I don't need to do that. Such people should think to themselves that if someone's heart is pure, they will not only pray five times a day, they'll be praying tahajjud as well. Really, if one's heart is pure, you'll not only be praying five times a day, you'll be praying tahajjud as well. Because if your heart is pure, it'll be attached to Allah. And if your heart is attached to Allah, you're going to be praying extra, not less. The fact that you don't want to even pray one time a day, what does that say about the condition of one's heart? So this is self-deception. This is a self-deception where we deceive ourselves. Islam is built upon iman with amal. Belief with actions. They go hand in hand. And it is these actions that we are focusing on today. Because when you look at the categories of Tawheed, one of the ways that the scholars have categorized Tawheed is in two types. Tawheed of our beliefs and Tawheed of our actions. The first three verses of Surah Fatiha spoke about our Tawheed in our beliefs. What did they speak about? That we believe that Allah is the only Lord of the universe, Rabbul Alameen. That we believe that He is the master of the Day of Judgment, Maliki Yawmiddin. This is all belief. This is our oneness in our belief. Our belief in Allah's names and attributes. On the other hand, the verse we are looking at today, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. What is this? Worship and asking for help are deeds. This is our tawheed in our deeds. Our oneness in our deeds. That we are not only do we believe in only one Allah, but our actions are in line with that. Our actions don't state otherwise. Because that is what we are going to be judged for on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us, did we pray? Did we fast? Did we give zakah? Were we good to people? Right? I mentioned last week the narration that on the Day of Judgment, people will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will offer to ransom themselves with everything in this world. And Allah will reply, I only ask much less than that of you. Much less than that. I only ask that you worship me alone. That is all our Creator asks of us, to worship Him alone. Let us do that. So this is the issue of worship. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone we worship. And this really defines our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a question I want everyone to think about. This is something a lot of people don't think about. And that is, what is our relationship with Allah? You see, we focus a lot on relationships. We want to have a good relationship with our parents, and with our spouse, and with our children, and with our neighbors, and with our community. But very often forget the most important relationship of them all. That is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Am I close to Allah? Is Allah pleased with me? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy with me? Am I someone who Allah will answer my du'as? We forget about that relationship. That is the primary relationship. That is the most important and crucial relationship for our success in both worlds. So that's what I want everybody to think about. When you recite, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, think about it. Do I have a good relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if not, what am I doing wrong that is stopping me from getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We find that humans today are on different levels with regards to their relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that some people don't even believe in Allah, like the atheists. They don't believe in Him at all. So they have no relationship with Him at all. And that is really a scary and dangerous position to be in. In this world, it's a scary and dangerous position to be in, because your life has no purpose. Your life has no meaning. Your death has no meaning. Everything becomes empty. So if someone is an atheist, they live an empty existence. You may be thinking you're living a fulfilling existence, but what happens when you die? It's over, according to you. So you have this emptiness inside you because you have abandoned the correct beliefs in order to follow this. So that's atheism. Another type of people are those who believe in Allah, but their belief doesn't influence their actions. We find this amongst Muslim and non-Muslim alike. Many people in the world today believe in God. Muslims, Christians, many believe in God. But how many worship Him? How many make Him a daily part of their lives? How many are trying to obey Him and trying to get closer to Him? Many of us are distracted. Many people's relationship with Allah is one that we never thought about it. We're too distracted. Distracted by what? The world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ, that this competition to get the things of this world has distracted you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reality of many people. So inshallah, we will continue discussing this topic after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are looking at verse number 4 of Surah Fatiha. Actually, technically speaking, we're only looking at half of the verse. We've actually just been discussing the first two words, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone we worship. And this entire episode has been revolving around the concept of worship and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because as I mentioned, this verse, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, it is the central theme of the Quran. It is everything. This is really what determines who goes to paradise and who goes to hell. Those who choose to understand and follow and live their lives according to this verse will save themselves. And so this verse, really, it demands a much deeper explanation. So we're only focusing on half of the verse today, you alone we worship. Inshallah, next week we will discuss the second half of the verse, you alone we ask for help, and focus on the concept of dua in Islam and the importance of tawakkul as well, as those are the two key concepts of you alone we ask for help. So inshallah, we will focus on that next week. But for this week, we are focusing on the concept of worship. And with worship comes our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, before we went for the break, I had mentioned that for many of us, we never thought about it. What is my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, we know about other people's relationship to Allah. We know that Ibrahim alayhi salam was Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. We know about awliyaullah, people who are friends with Allah. But what about ourselves? Very often we forget about that. That shouldn't we be striving to be close to Allah instead of worrying about everybody else only? And this happens and distracts us, that we forget about our own relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shouldn't I be striving to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And before we went to the break, I was speaking about one of the most common things which cause us to forget this, and that is the dunya, the rat race. We're competing every day. I need more money. I need a better car. I need a better house. I need a bigger car. I need a bigger house. I need to travel overseas. We have all these thoughts in our head. An entire day is consumed. Our entire lives are consumed we're just earning more and more and more. To what end? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what the end will be of that. He says, Al-haakumut takasur hatta zurtumul maqabir. That this distraction to pile up the things of this world has distracted you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This competition has distracted you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you visit the graves. Meaning, until you die. When we die, the competition ends. When we die, it all comes to an end. No more money, no more bigger houses, no more bigger cars. All that's left is us in our grave. And the two angels, Munkar and Nakir, will come to us. And they will ask us, who was your Lord? Who is your Lord? What was your religion? And what did you believe about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They will ask us these three questions. And if we're worshipping our wealth, that's what we do. That's what people do, worship wealth. If we were worshipping our wealth, worshipping entertainment, worshipping the pop stars, the pop idols, they're not called idols for nothing. You know, if we were worshipping all of that, how will we answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the grave? How will we answer Him on the Day of Judgment? It's very, very important for us to work on this. As I said, it is the days of Hajj. And we shouldn't just leave it to the people in Makkah and Mina that they are the ones who are striving for change. Wherever we are in the world, strive for change where you are. It is the 10 greatest days of the year, days where du'as are accepted, where there are plenty of good deeds that we can do even in our own countries, like fasting tomorrow and slaughtering qurbanis on Eid Day. All of this we can do to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Work on your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is crucial. That is most important. On the Day of Judgment, Allah is not going to be asking us about other relationships first. He will ask us. He will ask us definitely, were you good to your parents, were you good to your wife, were you good to your children. But first, before all of that, did you fulfill Allah's rights? You know, again, this is another interesting topic that many of us don't think about. Allah's rights. We live in a time where we are all obsessed with our own rights. How many topics and how many lectures and how many themes do we have of human rights, women's rights, children's rights, men's rights, everyone's rights? And it's all good, all very good. But what about our Creator's rights? We focus so much on my rights. Don't we ever think, what about Allah's rights? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does have rights over us. It is what is mentioned in this verse. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked this question to the Sahaba. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, do you know what is Allah's right over you? These were his words. Do you know what is Allah's rights? Haqqullah, Allah's rights over you. And the Sahaba said, Allah and His Messenger know best. What was his reply? Listen to the reply of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Allah's rights over you is that you worship none but Him. See, it's exactly what we're talking about in this verse. This verse, talking about worship, is talking about our relationship with Allah. It's talking about fulfilling Allah's rights. Because you can't have a relationship with someone who you do not fulfill the rights of. And the rights of Allah is exactly this, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone we worship. That's Allah's rights. And the hadith doesn't end there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then went on to ask the Sahaba, do you know what's your rights upon Allah? The Sahaba said, Allah and His Messenger know best. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your rights upon Allah is that if you worship Him alone, He enters you into paradise. Now think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Creator. He is not answerable to anyone. But He has made it our right upon Him. He has made it. No one else can put anything on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has made it our right upon Him that if we worship Him alone, He will grant us paradise. So this is really Allah's mercy and blessings upon us. And so I ask everyone who is listening to think about this. Think about whether we are fulfilling the rights of Allah or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. He has nurtured us. He has given us everything we have in our lives. From our wealth to our families, to our health, to our deeds, to our good looks. Whatever Allah has given you. Whatever Allah has given you. Think about it. Are you grateful to Allah for it? And being grateful is not just saying Alhamdulillah. Being grateful is praying five times a day. Being grateful is living your life according to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, this issue of worshipping Allah alone, this is Islam. This is Islam at its core, Islam at its essence, that we worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're speaking about relationships, and we said that some people, they don't even believe in God. Some people believe in Him, but they don't really do anything with that belief. It's just a belief which doesn't impact their lives in any way. In that way, it becomes meaningless. You know, it's something you are saying, but you're not really showing that you truly believe in it. The third type of people were those who were distracted. Distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you have those who believe in Allah, but worship others besides Allah. And this has been the case of the majority of human beings throughout history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Majority of them did not believe except while they were committing shirk. And we ask Allah to save us from falling into this category. Shirk can be so easy to fall into if we do not know what counts as shirk or not. It can be very easy to fall into if we do not study Tawheed, if we do not study Aqeedah, and learn how do we fulfill Allah's rights. This is something, some knowledge which is compulsory upon every believer to study and to learn, because this is really the knowledge which will save us from the hellfire. And then we have those of us, we have those humans who have chosen to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of submission, Islam, and they are called Muslims. This is the primary relationship that any human should have with Allah. If we want to escape the hellfire, to earn Allah's pleasure, to enter into paradise, to have the best of both worlds, fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirah hasana, then we need to strive to be amongst those who have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him alone. That is the primary relationship. But that's not the ideal. That is the primary, that's the minimum to get to Jannah. The ideal relationship that anyone should have with their Creator is one of wilayah, to become a wali, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the ideal. That's what we should be striving towards. You know, we shouldn't be striving to pray 5 times a day. No, 5 times a day should be a part of us. We should be striving to do more than that. We should be striving to bring tahajjud. We should be striving towards crying in our salah and understanding our salah and making 10-minute sajdas. We should be striving towards becoming Allah's friends. Again, the primary relationship that we should have to Allah is one that we worship none besides Him and we submit to Him. That is the basics. That is the basics which will take us to Jannah. But that's not the ideal. The ideal is more than that. The ideal is to get closer to Allah than that. The ideal is to become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To become from those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about them, إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That the friends of Allah, they have no fear nor will they grieve, meaning in the afterlife. To people who are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which includes the 7 who will be under the shade of the throne that we spoke about last week, they are those who in the afterlife they don't feel fear. They are not afraid, because Allah has sent to them. You know, in another verse Allah mentions that in the time of death comes, the angels come and give them good glad tidings. Can you imagine that? Imagine you are dying and angels come to you and give you good news that you are dying and you are, you know, going to Jannah. So you will die in a state that is happy. So this is what we should be striving towards. This is the ultimate relationship that anyone should have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, alhamdulillah, that is regarding our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we spoke today about the issue of worship, and we spoke about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we're going to take one last break, and when we return, we will sum up this verse. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We were discussing the first half of verse number 4 of Surah Fatiha, which really is just 2 words in the Quran. Iyaka na'budu, you alone we worship. But these 2 words are so powerful that they sum up the entire message of Islam. A message of submission and worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And so we spend the entire hour discussing what do these 2 words mean and the impact they should have in our lives. Because if you remember the hadith about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking to us in our salah, when we say this verse in our salah, Allah has a very profound reply. When someone in their salah recites, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you alone we worship and you alone we ask for help, and they are sincere about that and they are truthful in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies that this is between you and me, and you will have whatever you ask for. Think about that. Don't you want that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He says you will have whatever you ask for? This is making things personal between you and Allah, a personal close relationship that Allah says, this is between you and me, and for you is whatever you ask for. So this is really what we should strive towards. Our entire lives, at the end of the day, we are all going to pass away. We are all going to stand before Allah. And if we had lived our lives fulfilling the rights of Allah, living according to إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, then inshallah, on the day of judgment, we will be amongst those who will be closest to Allah, and we will not have any fear. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand what is worship, and to help us understand what is shirk, and to help us all to stay away from every form of shirk. We ask Allah to help us stay away from every form of shirk, both the overt and the subtle, that which is obvious and that which we might not even know is shirk. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to make the dua, that, O Allah, I ask you to protect me from committing shirk knowingly, and I ask you to forgive me if I commit shirk unknowingly. This is a dua we are taught to make, because sometimes we don't even realize it. Sometimes we don't even realize when we are loving someone more than Allah, or fearing someone more than Allah, or being someone above Allah. We don't realize it sometimes. We don't realize when we are doing good deeds to please Allah instead of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to constantly be making this dua. And so with that, alhamdulillah, we conclude our discussion of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone we worship. Inshallah, next week we will tackle the second half of this verse and its detailed explanation, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you alone we ask for help, where we will look at the concepts of dua and tawakkul in details, as well as the etiquettes of dua and the situations in which duas are accepted, as well as the situations in which duas are rejected. So we can strive to escape those situations where duas are rejected, and to put ourselves in situations where they are accepted. And with that, inshallah, I will conclude soon. And we ask Allah to bless us in the last few days of Dhul-Hijjah. Do not forget tomorrow, fasting sincerely and properly on the day of Arafah can lead to the previous years and the next year's sins all being forgiven. Don't miss out on the opportunity to fast tomorrow. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us all close to Him, to protect us from shirk, to help us to establish Tawheed in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant everyone a happy and joyous Eid. With that, I will conclude. Eid Mubarak to you all in advance. Jazakallah khairan. Wa akhru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.